Open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 5. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about heaven, what God has in store for his family reunion, because we know it's his family that's going to spend eternity with him in heaven. The place, Revelation 22, says a river will flow clear and crystal, coming from the throne of God, and in the middle of the street, that the tree of life will stand, and its leaves will be for the healing of all the nations. These things picture life with God in eternity. And the restoration that God intended way back in the Garden of Eden is going to be made complete. No more separation, no more racism, no more prejudice, no more difference. We're all going to come together and be a part of God's family. In verse 3, the greatest verse of them all says that there will no longer be any curse. Because you see, sin's power, sin's pull, sin's presence is going to have been defeated. And we are going to be together in that place God intended from the beginning for us to spend eternity with him. We talked about hell. Hell is going to be a place where there is going to be pain, where there's going to be torture, where there's going to be fire. Hell was never intended for mankind to inhabit. When you read the scripture, we are told that hell was created for Satan and his demons. Hell is also going to be a place of regret. It's going to be that place where we're going to remember every opportunity. People who are in hell are going to remember every opportunity that they had to receive Christ, but they didn't. It's going to be a great regret because it says there's a chasm that separates heaven and hell that no man can cross. Eternity's outcome awaits each. We're all, the Bible says, going to be on one of two roads, a broad road or a narrow road. And we're all going to be judged on the day of our death. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You know, Paul adds in 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing, the righteous judge. That's who will stand before on that day. Eternity's outcome on the tip of his tongue. As we stand before the righteous judge, we'll hear one of two things. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity, or well done, thy good and faithful child. Come in, enter into your rest. The last 2 weeks, I've talked about what eternity's outcome is going to be. One of those two. Every human being that's taken a breath on the face of this earth, one of those two ways. But what about the in-between? What about the here and now? What are we to do in the present to prepare for the eternity? Paul talks about that in this letter to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. I want to read verse 15 and 16. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. You know, we've talked about eternity. We've talked about heaven. We've talked about hell. But what about in the between? And these words caught my attention this week as I was reading. Making the most of your time. I want you to think about it this way. Time is something, it's probably the one thing that makes up every life. Time is the thing that every person has the same amount of each day. There's no hoarding time. You can't get more of it. And then there's also no one who has no time. We've all been given the same every day. You know, when you think about it, time is the thing that a lot of people wish we had more of. I can remember saying many times, man, I wish I had more time. And at the same time, sometimes it seems like time speeds by. There are other times where it drags. But there is one very certain thing. Time is something we're all going to be held accountable for. What did you do with the time that you had? You know, we're not all going to live the same number of years, but in every day, there's the same amount of hours, there's the same amount of time. What did you do with what you'd been given? Parable of the talents. You remember that story? The master gave his servants different talents, different gifts, different abilities. And he said, now take these, and he went off on a journey. And when he got back, he was going to hold them accountable for what they had been given. Now, he was gone for the same amount of time. They had been given different gifts. What had they done with those gifts in the time that he had been gone? All of us have been given different talents and gifts, but at the same, you know, at some time, we're going to be held accountable to the master for what we did with what we had in the time that we'd been given. Consider it this way. Let's say, and some of you are going to like this. I like this. I like the idea. Consider every day when you woke up that morning, your bank account had been credited $86,000. Yeah. The only thing about that $86,000 is that there you lost all the balance from the day before, and at the end of the day, whatever you had left, you would lose. What would you do? Well, likely you would go and you'd draw that cash out and you would use it to your advantage. As much as I can that particular day, I'm going to take that $86,000, I'm going to spend it on things that are going to make my life better, that's going to make others' lives better. Because at the end of the day, it's gone. But I want you to think about that, because you have a bank like that. It's called the bank of time. Every morning when you wake up, you've got 86,400 seconds that are yours. Each night, it's lost if you fail to invest it in its proper purpose. But every day, you open a new account. Now, you don't have anything from yesterday, and you don't have any guarantees of tomorrow, but you've got today. You've got 86,400 seconds of today to make the most of your time. You know, this is redeeming the time. What does redeeming mean? It means to convert time into value. Take what you've been given and make it into something valuable. I remember as a kid, and I asked him in the first service, hey, did y'all have S&H green stamps here in Texas? Or was that just an Arkansas thing? You didn't have them down here, huh? I didn't know whether we were more advanced or y'all were more advanced. Gail assured me y'all were more advanced. But anyway, I can remember with sitting down at the table with my grandma, and we would lick those stamps. Young people are saying, lick stamps? Yuck, I didn't know you could lick stamps. Some of them are saying, stamps? What stamps? We just email everything. We don't need mail. But we would sit down, we'd lick those stamps from the store, put them in the book, and then they would take that book, and usually my grandma would give them to my mom. My mom would save her own. And then we would go to this place called the S&H Green Stamp Store. How many of you have ever been to the S&H Green Stamp Store? Let me see what the age limit on this is. I don't see many under about 35 or 40. And we would trade them in for something either dumb, like a toaster or a lamp, or we would trade them in for something great, like a football or a baseball glove. You know, something like that. You know, you'd get something good for those sorry stamps. You know, in our lives, we are either killing time or filling time. What are you doing with your life? The time that God has given you, are you converting it into something valuable? Are you taking what God has given you in these moments of your life and are you investing them in His kingdom and in other people? Because those are the things that last. Someone has said, life is too short to do everything we want to do, but it's long enough to do everything God wants us to do. We can't do everything we want to do, but we can do what God wants us to do. That's why Paul says, use your time wisely. There's a lot of time wasters in our life. Hey, social media. for all of its benefit, is one of the biggest time wasters. Some people give away large chunks of their life to Facebook, to games. John Piper, in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, says one of the greatest uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not for a lack of time. We're told to live wisely because the days are evil. In these last few minutes, I want to tell you two or three ways that you can live wisely. Number one, you live wisely by being Spirit-filled. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your life. But that doesn't mean you are Spirit-filled. You are Spirit-filled when you give control of your life to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Every morning when you wake up, you get to decide who's going to run your life that day. Am I going to run my life that day, or is God going to run my life today? This morning, you've already made some decisions. Hey, I want to come to be a part of worship. I want God to run my life. I want to hear about it. Now, what are you going to decide tomorrow? And what are you going to decide on Tuesday? And what are you going to decide on Wednesday? Who's going to run your life on those days? Because you see, for us to live wisely, the Lord has got to run our life all the time. We don't just trade seats once in a while. Live wisely. Allow the Spirit to fill your life. The Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God." There's no way you can live in the wisdom of God unless you know the mind of God. And the Spirit reveals to us the mind of God. Live by being Spirit-filled. Secondly, a second way you can live with wisdom is be thankful for every opportunity and blessing. Ephesians 5:20 here says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Speak words of appreciation to God on a regular basis for what He's done. You know, have a mindset of things that you're thankful for. I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the areas I struggle with because I especially think about it when I've coached baseball or I've coached football or basketball, whatever it is I'm coaching. Because, you know, you expect certain things. When they do it right, you go, well, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be done. But if I'm sitting here watching the Cowboys play, and Tony Romo drops back and he throws the ball to the other team, I'm unhappy with him. I'm sitting here saying, what are you doing? You dummy. While Steve is cheering, saying, yeah, good pass. Sometimes. You know, because we all grow to expect the right, so we just kind of, we don't really say anything about it. We don't appreciate the good, but we always see the bad. And we get that way in life. You know, we may have 10 things in our life that are great today, but you know what will often catch our attention is the one thing we're struggling with, the one person we're mad at. We tend to dwell on the negative. You know, life breaks down into a couple of things. Some people see opportunities. Some people see obstacles. What do you focus on? What gets your time and attention? Are you thankful to God for what you have today, or are you disappointed with what you don't have? And that says a lot about you right then and there, about your happiness in this life. If you focus on the negative, you're not going to be a happy person. If you focus on the positive and the things you're thankful for, God will use you as a conduit to bless other people's lives. Be Spirit-filled. Be thankful for every opportunity. You know, just give you an example of this. Some people who never see opportunities or obstacles, a difference in them, somebody might say, well, I can't serve God where I work. Nobody is a Christian. I wish God would let me just quit. And a different person in the same situation or same circumstances would look at that and say, what an opportunity. What a blessing it is. None of them know the Lord, and I'm going to get the opportunity to live out Christ before them. I'm going to get the opportunity to share with them. I may get the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. These are some difficult days in our country. We can say, oh, man, our country is is shot. I remember when it used to be so great. And we can say, woe is me from that perspective. What a mess this place is. Or we can say, you know what? There's a lot of people in our world these days who need hope. They're fed up with humanism. They need what God has to offer. And you know what? As a Christian, we have that. And we can see the state our country is as an opportunity rather than a curse. They need a real encounter with a risen Savior. Lord, help me reach people for your kingdom. Every season of life, every season of your life is either an excuse or an opportunity, depending on your perspective. What's your perspective today? Are you thankful for what you've been given? Or is everything a struggle? In the USA Today, some years back, Mike Tyson. You remember Mike Tyson? Heavyweight champion of the world. Man, he could hit a guy and down they would go and the fight was over like that. Millions of dollars. From a worldly perspective, people looked at Mike Tyson and thought, wow, that guy, toughest man in the world. In an article or an interview, he said, I found this interesting, he said, my whole life has been wasted. I've been a failure. He said, I'm really embarrassed with myself and my life. I'll never be happy, and I believe I'll die alone. I'm really lost. This was a man who had the whole world by the tail. But for Tyson, his life was a waste of time, a lost opportunity. A group of students were asked to write some definitions of life. One student wrote, life is the punishment for the crime of being born. Another wrote, life is a disease for which death is the only cure. Too many people fail to see the purpose of life, and they feel that way. Are we simply wasting our time, or are we making the most of our time? Paul says, redeem the time. Make the most of the time. Hey, there is an eternity that awaits all of us. But what are we going to do between now and then to make the most of it? Our time is limited. It's not always going to be there. Gold and diamonds, they'd be worthless if they were common rocks, wouldn't they? If you go outside in the parking lot and you saw a bunch of gold and diamonds laying around the parking lot, they'd be worthless. Because they'd just be common. Time would not be so precious if we never died. But we will die. There's no fountain of youth in this life. When Derek and Jenny went to Florida a few years back, they brought a little bottle that said Fountain of Youth. I've still got that thing sitting on my shelf so that when I need it, I can call it up. That ain't right. But you know what? That little Fountain of Youth bottle, I don't really have faith that if I drink that, I'm going to feel 20 years younger. I don't think there's enough of it. But you never get time back. Remember the soap opera Days of Our Lives? Like sands through the hourglass, so are what? The days of our lives. That's biblical. You know what John 9:4 says? As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. Like sands through the hourglass, our lives are passing by. Are you making the most of your time today? Jesus had a short life compared to most in this room. 33 years. But he impacted the world for thousands of years. Whose lives are you impacting that 1,000 years from now in heaven will look back and say, thank you for making a difference in my life? Because if you're not impacting anyone's life, you're missing the opportunity that God has given you. And you've got no one to blame but yourself. can't blame your husband. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your kids. You can't blame your parents. It's on you. And one day, before God, and we give an account of our lives, it'll just be about us. And did we make the most of our time? Paul says, make the most of your life. What do you need to do today to make that happen? Hey, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You can't begin to find in life until you know Jesus. Until you invite Him to be the Lord of your life. Until then, you are just wasting your life. Because the outcome of your life, eternity in hell, if you Christ, and God never intended, only you can choose hell. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, He died on a cross and He paid the penalty for your sin so that you could spend eternity with Him. This morning we're going to have a hymn of invitation and offer you the opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior, to come and recognize, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And trust what He did on the cross to save you. Maybe you're here today and you've trusted Christ. What you need to do is be filled with the Spirit. You know, maybe sin has taken up residence in your life to where you find a hard time recognizing what is right. You see the obstacles. You don't see the opportunities. Maybe today you need to yield your life. Follow Christ. By being filled with the Spirit each day, repenting of sin. Maybe you're here today and you need to follow Christ in baptism. You've never been baptized. Maybe you're here today and you need to join this church. Maybe you're here today and you need to begin to share your faith on a regular basis because you've been quiet too long. Whatever it is the Lord would encourage you to do, listen to His Spirit and follow as He leads. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the time that You've given us. Thank You for even the moments right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but Lord, we know what right now holds. And I pray for Your Spirit to speak to the hearts of Your people. Lord, wherever we are in our relationship with You, if there's anyone that doesn't have a relationship with You but needs one, today is a day of salvation. Lord, may we respond as You lead. Whatever You desire for us to do to make the most of our life, to make the most of our time, may we do it today. In Christ's name we pray.